Hi, and welcome to the final Japan Baseball Weekly podcast of 2017. With me on a Saturday night, late on a Saturday night, is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
Well, it's Sunday morning, but, you know, who's keeping score? You know, as I ask a bunch of baseball people. Yes, and obviously, yes. And that's been me since I was a little boy.
Sabermetric head.
Indeed.
So I'm playing a little bit hurt today. I don't get fevers or colds. I think people might have heard in the 7 years that we've done the show, might have heard me say I've had a cold once. So this is the second time, but I'll play through it and fevers and all that stuff. wish me luck, Jim.
Oh, good luck there. I do. I don't want to carry this on without you. It would be awfully boring.
I bet you say that to all the guys.
As a matter of fact, I do.
Okay. On this week's show, we've got Jim's chat with Dragons pitching coach Denny Tomori. Jim's take on the winter meetings that he went to, his input on Shohei Ohtani landing in the Angels outfield, and more. Ooh. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, well, as John mentioned, I was at the winter meetings in, to be precise, Lake Buena Vista, Florida, which is like this huge swampy, foresty area west of Orlando where Disney World is secreted. And they have a hotel there where the winter meetings were held. It was kind of interesting. I liked this, although it was in Orlando. And I don't mean to cast aspersions on people from Florida or their, you know, their lovely state, because it's beautiful. But it's not really my favorite destination. I pretty much have no interest in Disney. But having said that, once you get to the conference site, it's really convenient once you're there. Unless, of course, you have to pay for the food, as most of the people who were based there had to. So anyway, I drove in every day, and that was nice. And a lot of things were going on. And one of the things, of course, perhaps the best thing about the I've split between the best thing about the winter meetings. It's either catching up with people you haven't seen in a while,
right?
Who just happen to be there,
right?
Or it's meeting new people, you know. And since I tend to live in the past more than most people, I think it's the latter.
Okay.
It's the former.
Well, you know.
Yeah, indeed. It's you know, it's meeting the people, running into people I haven't seen in a long time. But I always enjoy the latter because I'm a bit shy, and it's sometimes hard to meet new people for me. And, you know, it often comes off quite clumsy. But one of the people who's been to the last two winter meetings who didn't used to come is Denny Tomori, the half-American, half-Japanese pitching coach of the Chunichi Dragons.
Right.
And he, since Shigekazu Mori,
the manager,
was promoted to manager, it's cut into his time going overseas looking for prospects in the Dominican Republic every winter.
Cut into Mori's time?
Yes.
Okay.
So in his place, Denny Tomori's taken over some of that load and spent time in the Dominican and then catches the winter meetings on the way back. So, we spoke a little bit, and he warned me. He says, I don't speak any English.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I
always spoke in Japanese with him when I saw him in the park, but I always imagined he could speak English.
Right, but one time about 10 years ago or so, I was interviewing a Dragons pitcher, and we were finishing the interview in the little tunnel between the dugout and the Dragons clubhouse at Nagoya Dome, and he said, you know, in Japanese, he says, I'm a lucky guy. And then I heard this voice shouting as he walked past us. And then, no, you're not, in English. And that was Denny Tomori. And I thought, wow, his pronunciation is really good. So it can be. And he's just a delightful guy. And it was actually the first time after last year we spoke a bit. And this is the first time I've had any kind of extended conversation with him. So listen and enjoy to Denny Tomori tell you about the Dragons pitching staff issues and his time in the major leagues.
Okay, our guest on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast this week is Chunichi Dragons pitching coach and former major league pitcher, Denny Tomori. Yeah, well, yeah, he was there. He wore a Boston Red Sox uniform. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. And obviously, we have a lot of Dragons fans listen to our podcast, and they want to know, you know, what's up for the Dragons. So
maybe a young boy is a chance.
Yeah.
And then too much within that, too much old players, you know, Iwasi, and not a guy, a lot.
Yeah.
But we got to change the young team.
Mm-hmm.
We got, because we have a 5 years low team.
Oh, you know? On a B class team.
Yes, yes.
So
we have picked up the number one, the Suzuki.
Right.
Yeah, throw hardest. His good arm, so
left,
maybe.
Yeah,
left.
Yeah.
No, right hand.
Right hand.
He played a starter.
Okay.
And Ogasawa.
Uh-huh.
And Yanagi.
Right.
And now the guys, we have too much, I don't know, fresh guy.
Okay. So a lot of young starting pitching candidates.
Yes.
So, but my colleague John wants to know, you kind of don't have an ace pitcher right now.
Yes.
Is that important to have somebody who can be the anchor in the starting rotation that you haven't had since Yoshimi?
Yoshimi-san, yeah, he's good, but, you know, he's
injured.
Shoulder and elbow is not fresh, you know.
Yeah.
Too much throw used to be there. But he's better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but leader, pitcher's leader.
Right. And when we see Yoshimi pitch, he pitches rarely, but he pitches very well. Is that going
That's
to continue?
Big, important. He have that good rotation, and too much. He have the good breaking ball,
right?
But he don't have the stamina.
Right.
One year maybe 15 games or 20 games starter.
Mm.
That's minimum.
So if he's the leader of the pitching staff, it's it's very hard when he's only pitching 15 games to provide leadership.
Yeah, I know.
So kind of you have a dilemma.
Yes, I want special guy, any young boy.
Okay.
Sakita Yanagi-san, and new guys, and Ogasawa-san. Maybe next hero we want.
Okay. So you're looking to who's got the mental toughness and the leadership?
Yanagi. Yanagi's good.
Okay.
But he's nervous.
Okay.
You know, first year in professional baseball this year. And he's nervous, but next year, maybe he's good.
Okay.
I wish.
Okay. And obviously, the team, you had some good defensive players, and Yota Kyoda playing shortstop every day, and that's got to be really big for your pitchers.
Yeah, he's a good hitter, and he's fast.
Yeah.
And field is good.
Yeah.
He helped the pitchers.
Sure.
It's great.
You got to love the good shortstops.
Yeah, right.
I mean, obviously, when you were pitching, you had some good shortstops behind you in both Yokohama and wherever you were pitching. So.
Yeah, but we lost Guerrero.
Yeah.
Not only Bichedo.
Yeah, so that's a lot of power.
Yes.
So is there somebody coming? You before you came to the winter meetings, you were in the Dominican. Is there somebody coming? Do you have a player coming this spring?
Two guys pick up the hitter.
Okay.
The Dominican guys, two hitters, and I'm looking for the pitchers, another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right-hand starter.
Okay.
And hitter is good.
Okay.
Pitchers, only pitchers.
Pitchers, yeah. It's got to be. It's a Central League is now very competitive because it was a three good teams and now it's a four good teams.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
But I'm Swallows fan, so you know.
Swallows, yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are fighting for last. So hopefully you'll be fighting for first.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, now. Another question, just a little background. So you did go to America to pitch, and you're from Okinawa.
Yes, I was born in Okinawa.
Right.
Then my father is American.
Okay.
Then my mother is Japanese.
Okay. And so you have a kind of a multicultural upbringing.
I am excited in Boston.
Yeah.
I am, but minorities is I know, but exciting that life is. My family loves the States.
Okay.
And then Boston is a nice place.
Oh, so, and you got to pitch in Boston.
Yeah.
And how was that experience for you?
Amazing. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, it was at the end of your career. Oh, it was close to the end of your career. And I asked yesterday Saito Takashi, yeah, about going to America, you know, and he was in a similar situation as you. You know, his career was going downhill and, you know, maybe last chance to go to America. And what did you learn playing baseball in America, even at that level? What did you learn something and bring it back with you?
You know, baseball, Japanese baseball and the States baseball, the same but different, a little bit different, you know. Japanese baseball is like an army, you know.
Yeah.
The baseball, that's fun. That's good, you know. Fans good.
Yeah.
The players good to throw hard. Mm-hmm. The nice powers.
Yeah.
Just simple, but very good. I love it, the baseball in States.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A little, quite different. More challenging.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But the Japanese, of course, when you say the fans are great, the fans also very different.
Yeah,
in Japan, the American players come to Japan and they go, wow,
yeah,
the fans support me. I made an error and the fans are cheering for me.
Right.
In America, you make an error, it's go home.
Yeah. But I like it. American fans is good. I like it.
The atmosphere, completely different.
In Boston, you know, a little bit, you know, crazy.
A little crazy. Okay, well, I want to thank you for taking your time to join us.
Thank you.
And thank you for being on our podcast.
Well, Coach Tomori, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm sure all our Dragons listeners will be happy to hear that that Yagi is you know, you got your eye on Yagi as the future ace.
What?
What? Okay, maybe not.
You trying to make me feel worse?
Well, that was not my intention, but, yeah. I didn't want to come out and say that.
Yeah, okay. See, I told you when we started recording I'd have the energy to laugh.
See, I bring out the humorist.
Yes, whatever machine that is.
So, in addition to laughter, you got anything else to share with our listeners?
Sure. It's just like you said, I kind of fully expected him to be a very fluent English speaker, so I was surprised that he wasn't. But I say this about a lot of the players who come on this show, and you know, English is their second language. We really appreciate the effort that they make, whether it's the Latin players or we haven't had any Taiwanese or
Koreans now.
Korean players. But so I appreciate the effort. I guess the main thing for me that in the whole talk was that he was willing to, you know, throw the pitching staff under the bus with the Dragons, especially the rotation, and, you know, talk about the fact that Kazuki Yoshimi doesn't have the stamina, and that they're counting so much on who the guy who's going to be a second-year pitcher, Yuya Yanagi, and telling us that he was nervous on the mound. Of course, he didn't look nervous. I thought he looked all right, but what do I know? I always tell you guys, you know, we don't know.
You weren't going out to the mound to see his palms sweating.
Right. I always tell our listeners, you know, we don't know. We don't know so much, but we think we know. But the managers really do know.
I don't know about that.
Okay. You mean you don't think you know sometimes, or you're sure you don't know, or what do you mean?
No, I don't think I know. I don't know.
All right, I have too much.
I'm sorry.
Fever to
okay.
Dance
okay.
With that.
Okay.
But it's telling us that he was nervous on the mound. I'm shocked to hear that. And you look at their rotation, and the guy who had the most wins on the team was who? Do you remember?
No. Did any of them have any wins? Didn't they go a long time without having a win by a starter this year?
They did. They did go a long time without figuring out how to win a game. But it was Katsuki Matayoshi who started out as a reliever, then went into the rotation, then went back to relief. And he had 8 wins. And the starter, the guy who was a starter the entire time, although he did make some relief appearances, I think 2, Yudai Ono, and he only had 7 wins. So, Raul Valdez, who pitched really well at times for them, only managed 6 wins, and he actually had a pretty good whip and everything, but you know, it wasn't all about the pitching. So I was surprised that Denny would single out the rotation, because I think they had all kinds of issues throughout the pitching staff. But letting us know that they're working on it. I'm not sure how much a rookie is going to come in and help, but you know, we don't know what these guys are going to do, because it's hard to predict. So that was the thing that stuck out most for me.
I thought, I think, you know, the issue of leadership was, you know, we were sort of on the same page about that. It's, you know, it's as much as, and of course we agreed about Yoshimi, you know, it's really hard. 15 games. And he said that was a minimum. I think what he meant was you want the ace pitcher to be there for 15 to 20 games. And we know Yoshimi's not going to be.
Right.
He's probably going to make eight to 12 starts at best. I mean, he has been really good when he's been healthy, but he just can't pitch that often. He's pretty much every 2-week guy. And it's unfortunate, but it is hard to be the leader of a pitching staff when you're not there. And they can't afford to keep him on the roster just for emotional rescue. So, that was interesting. I was glad to hear he did have a name in mind. Of course, most of these coaches do have something in mind. I mean, you know, even if, it's a plan, we'll see how it works.
Right.
It was interesting. He did say that they have a couple of hitters they like. He didn't name names, but he said they had a couple of hitters coming. I assume from the Dominican Republic as well as a right-hander. So we'll see something new with the Dragons. Yeah, they don't seem to have too much trouble picking up talent from the Dominican. So it's like Guerrero. We can't even spell Guerrero anymore.
Yeah.
Of course, they will be when they play the Giants, I suppose.
You better know how to spell it then.
Okay. So, but that was fine. He was so gracious and it was hard. I guess the hardest thing was finding a place that wasn't too noisy to talk. Because it's constantly loud.
Yep.
And that's during the day, and it gets louder at night.
Yeah,
it sounds like I
didn't notice that, but I did see some.
Well, we were outside. Because that's where it's quiet.
Yeah, I could hear some of the cars and automobiles going by, so I knew you guys were outside. But
I just want to thank him for being on the show, and look forward to seeing him again this season.
Same here, Denny. Thank you very much, and I'll be looking forward to chatting with you sometime next season. So, making a two-seam transition, so you were at the winter meetings, and you caught up with, I'm assuming, a lot of MPB-related guys. So, what's your report on the winter meetings?
I want to give a shout-out to Bobby Scales. He was one of the people who he always comes up to me when he sees me at the winter meetings and says hi, and we reminisce a little bit about Japan, and he said, you know, I listen to the podcast, I love it, and to you, thank you so much for saying that. It means a lot to me. I still can't figure out the time I was hypercritical of Mr. Scales. I loved his attitude when he was here, so I don't know what it was. I'm sure it was something misguided and ignorant, but.
I wouldn't say that. I would say that a lot of times, especially, and I liked him too, and we always talked, and he was on the show, I think, a couple times because he played with a couple of teams, but he didn't have a standout performance in Japan. And
he struggled. It was short.
And so
he was started with the Fighters, and then he was finished with the Oryx, and Oryx was not a particularly good fit. But, you know, that happens with Oryx.
But he worked hard, and he always said, hey, man, it's my job to hit, and, I'm not getting the job done. I got to figure out how to make adjustments and get it done. So I thought he was always positive.
So, and he has been, and that's the way he is in person. So anyway, thanks for saying hi. The other thing was I would mention again that I want to thank to those listeners who came up to me at the winter meetings and said hello. It was about 3 of you. Wow. So that was a nice surprise.
Speaking of there was a lot of coverage of the winter meetings, like constant coverage live on I'm not sure if it was the MLB channel. I was back home in the States, so I'm not sure, but that's where I saw you in the background. I would just have to tune in one day, and I said, I wonder if I'll see Jim. Sure enough, there you were, strolling through the lobby in the background as I think Mike Socha. No, that's not. It must have been. It was somebody.
You said Angel, Mike Socha, yeah.
It was somebody. I did? Okay, yeah. Somebody Angel related, so was being interviewed. And it was just so funny. So I tweeted it out, or did I just email you?
Oh, I don't remember. You messaged me, so I go, oh, okay. But that happens a lot. There's lots of TV cameras everywhere, lots of studio sets everywhere. But as far as NPB, ran into a host of players. I hadn't seen George Arias in about 12 years. Haunching Tigers, Oryx Buffaloes, Yomiuri Giants briefly. Met Greg Hansel, who I met once when he was in Japan pitching for the Haunching Tigers, and now he's a scout with the DeNA BayStars. I ran into Andy Sheets, who I haven't seen in forever.
The quiet one, Andy.
Andy, right. A nice rake in there, Andy. He's a scout with the Haunching Tigers. And I didn't see DJ Holton this year. I don't know if he's still with. Yeah, that's the thing, is I see this constant flux. You know, other than the fighters and the carp, who like never change their scouts. Oryx is gone through a lot of changes and so on and so forth, and Cebu's gone through a little change. Kevin Hodges was there as usual. So anyway, that's always nice, and of course catch up with a lot of my colleagues from newspapers and media in Japan who happen to be based overseas. So that's enough of that. So the strangest thing, and I don't know if I mentioned it to everyone or I guess I did on my Twitter feed, was how often I was standing around and just heard Japan or Otani everywhere. You know, last year there was a little bit about that, but there was, and I guess I've said this twice or said it a number of times, but basically last year it was the CBA will keep Otani from coming to America, because everybody knew. It was written in stone. It was the laws, you know, Newton's law of money.
Oh, that's what the people on the stateside said, right?
Last year, yes, right, because right. They knew that it didn't make sense to them for Otani to come, for Shohei Otani to come to the majors as a CBA amateur, you know, and get paid, you know, $500,000 or $1 million or whatever it is he's going to take in a signing bonus when he could earn $100 to $200 million 2 years later. You know, they knew it. So Shohei Otani was not quite the buzz, but he signed with, in fact, he held his press conference with the Anaheim Angels just before I got on my plane to go to Florida. While I was en route to Florida, So the announcement was made just before I got on the plane, and the press conference was held when I was at Dulles Airport waiting to catch my delayed flight to Orlando. You know, the buzz was just insane. I was not used to it. Not that, you know, anybody actually wanted to talk about it. I mean, with anybody, nobody wanted to talk about it with anybody who'd actually seen him play.
Right.
Right. That would be telling, I guess. Mm-hmm. And my anecdote is that there's somebody I've wanted to speak to for longer than I've lived in Japan.
Who's that?
That's Bill James.
Oh.
The consultant for the Boston Red Sox, and probably, I guess he's sort of the current godfather of sabermetrics, in that he started this wave in the late 70s, early 80s, that has overcome and immersed MLB, and in some ways responsible for my life as a journalist, indirectly, but I've always wanted to speak to him, and I saw he tweeted that he was at the winter meetings, and if you see me in the lobby, say hello. So I went to say hello, and I must have looked like, you know, I was very anxious, And I must have looked like maybe a serial killer from, you know, his true crime book or something, because he got out.
I was going to guess the little kid talking to Santa Claus.
It was a little bit like that. He's got a little Santa Claus going on. He's got a little of that Santa Claus thing going on. But he looked at me in his eyes. He's also not the most comfortable person talking to strangers, I gather. So it was like, hi, oh, I've got to go. And it was very awkward for him especially, and I was anyway. And the next day, however, I was talking to somebody, and I pointed out where Bill James is not far from me, and I said, "That's Bill James over there." And he went over and had a selfie taken with him.
Oh.
And this is a guy named Tom Tsuchiya, who's one of his jobs is creating the plaques for the Hall of Fame.
Okay, yeah.
And he wants Ichiro to retire now so he can do the plaque in 5 years. So Ichiro, if you're listening, get out of it. So anyway, so Tom went over, and then he wandered off. But when Bill James was going off another direction, he saw where I was standing. He walked over to me and said, "Hi, hello, how are you today?" And I said, "Fine." And then he said, "Oh, I've got to go to a meeting." So that was both intriguing and disastrous, I think. For me, it was a disaster because I had so many things. I just had so many things I would have wanted to show my appreciation, but it was an honor to meet him, which I said, and, you know, enough said. But it was interesting about all the talk about Ohtani, and the I guess the end result of that was that, you know, everybody has an opinion about him. And I heard about a dozen different opinions, which I can't recount them all. Some of them quite educated, some fairly uneducated. But I guess the most interesting point of the winter meetings for me was, one aspect of the winter meetings is that essentially all 30 MLB managers have a press conference for up to 30 minutes from Monday to Wednesday. And Mike Socha was the last one. Now, normally at these press conferences, I attend and I'll ask one or maybe two questions about things related to Japan. You know, either the manager played. I asked Gabe Kapler about his time in Japan, his brief time in Japan.
Brief, yes. I think we pointed that out.
I talked to Andy Green. I did this. I talked to somebody else about Trey Hillman a year ago. Well, anyway, comes time for Mike Socha. And instead of being on the periphery, it was like front and center. So he had probably the longest press conference of any of the managers, and I probably asked half the questions or 40% of the questions. So that was really bizarre.
That must have been.
And so in that reason, it was different. So it was fun, and it was overall really, really intriguing. The general consensus, I don't know if there was a consensus, but is that, you know, it's going to be really hard for him to do these things in America. It's really going to be hard for him to pitch and hit at a high level in America. But the people I've seen, the people I talked to who have actually seen him play,
right,
believe it's a possibility. They believe it's possible if the Angels don't do it, you know, if the Angels do it right. And I will tell you that Billy Epler, the Angels general manager, you know, I don't know how much of it is lip service, but it seems to me he really, really, really wants to do it right.
Okay, well, let's transition. Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani and him landing with the Angels. And we taped on a Thursday last time, and I think it was just a couple of days later, Ohtani...
Yep.
You know, earned his wings, I wanted to say, by becoming Angel. So,
about 36 hours later.
Yeah, so I did a solo addendum to the episode because you were heading to the winter meeting. So the process seemed to go lightning speed, in my opinion. I mean, you were talking about maybe the following week that he would make a decision. And, you know, it comes up that weekend. And it just kind of made me feel like he had the Angels in mind all along. He just wanted to see their plan or something like that, but I just really wasn't sure. And then I saw his press conference, during which the team's announcer kept saying "ham fighters" instead of "fighters," Then skipper Mike Socha didn't really seem to know the plan. And I shouldn't say didn't seem to know it, but he was very standoffish about the plan for him to play as a two-way player. He just said, we're going to use him as a two-way player, as if we didn't know, you know, as if it was going to be some kind of surprise.
Yeah, the other thing with Socha that caught my ear was, he's the best pitcher who joined this team in a long, long time, and we really need a number one pitcher.
Yeah.
So it's like, can we ditch the outfielding? You know, can we ditch that bat thing?
Yeah, it just seemed either Socha didn't. He was very unsure and measured with his comments most of the time, and that seemed to be a slip of the tongue right there. And then, but he just didn't seem to want to give the information as if he really didn't know. You know, this was kind of force-fed onto him. Because Mike Socha is not that kind of guy who's, you know, we talked about the fact that Joe Maddon was an outside-the-box guy. But I see Socha as very much an inside-the-lines guy. And I got the impression
Well, I had this conversation with Brian Kenny of MLB Network. And that was a really weird thing that happened, because normally these people, and I don't mean to be mean, but I'm an outsider. All these elite, and with the exception of a couple of people, most of them don't know who I am or don't care who I am, or I'm from Japan, so they don't care who I am. You know, it's like that.
Right.
Because they're dealing with insiders.
I'm right there with you.
And I'm about as, you know, outside as you can get without, you know, having a four-hole. So the Brian Kenny was introduced to me by somebody, a wonderful gentleman named Ron Rizzi of the Washington Nationals, who's as old school looking as you can get, but is really up to speed with where baseball is going and, you know, where it might go. And he's got his fingers on lots of pulses. And he said, man, you haven't been on MLB Network? What's wrong with those bozos? Let me get Brian Kenny over here. So he introduced me to Brian Kenny, who's a big shot with MLB Network. And we had a chat, and he told me a story about Mike Socha, where Benji Molina was stuck in A-ball, I think in the high desert in California.
Right.
And he's playing against all these guys who look like Greek, you know, his California boys look like Greek gods. And he's this dumpy little guy from Puerto Rico who doesn't look like he can do anything. But he's a heck. But Mike Socha was there, and he said, I think he was in player development at the time. And he said, look, you know, he said, look, you got it. You got it. And I'm going to do what I can to make sure other people see it. And Mr. Kenny's point was that Mike Socha has a history of going outside the box, but you just never know which Mike Socha is going to show up, good Mike or bad Mike. Actually, that was my expression. So I apologize to anybody who thinks that Brian Kenny would be so gruff, but he was saying that in the past he has tended to be more, when he gets frustrated, he tends to go old school.
Yeah.
Was his analysis.
Well, I'm sure Socha has some instances where outside the box he can think and survive and flourish, but it just seems to me that this situation was different for him. And then I kept trying to figure out how, you know, with, like I said, from the announcer at the press conference continuing to say ham fighters all day long, I'm like, did these guys really do the research? You know, did they really, you know, you would think from organization from top to bottom, they wouldn't sit there and basically disrespect the team by not calling it by the right name.
Well, they were
at a press conference.
They were very, from what people who know Billy Epler, or I should say one of my sources who knows Billy Epler quite well, said he's extremely good, extremely thorough, and also it was never his intention to be, to be noticeable in Japan. They came here, they did their work, they didn't, I did see Angel scouts here. Because, you know, I've got some business cards to prove it. Mm-hmm. So I knew they were here, but they don't have a full-time guy in Japan, but they were here doing their homework. And the things that Billy Epler told me were basically, you know, we're going to do I wrote this in the story. I said, what's a successful year? Is it a successful year if he hits 240 with 8 home runs? And he says, no, a successful year is if he thinks he's progressing, you know, if we did everything we could to help him progress in, you know, achieving what he wants to achieve.
Now, I like that answer. And I talked to a couple of Angels fans who are friends of mine.
Okay.
While I was back in California, and they say, well, you know, what is this guy? What does he do? And, you know, we've heard all this fanfare, but we didn't think we were going to get him. So now we're trying to catch up. And I said, look, whatever he is, don't judge him on 1 year. Don't judge him on this first year.
Oh, right, right.
It's going to take time. He's going to have to make adjustments, and he's a work in progress. But if he can make the adjustments and he can at least, you know, do one side successfully, then he's going to help the team. I'm not saying he's not going to pitch well. I'm not saying he's not going to hit well. But if it comes down to one thing and he's doing it well, it's going to help that team. Hopefully it does both well. But as Mike Socha said, they need pitching. So,
Well, I was quite. I guess the hype was pretty thick at the winter meetings. You know, the hype was stacked higher than Mike Stanton's Yankee cap when he walked through the media room. Huh. And that's a lot of hype. And I mean, people had this people were under the impression that the teams thought Ohtani was going to come in and win 15 games and hit, you know, 25 home runs and bat 500 times like he was some sort of machine. And like, nobody's actually coming out and saying that. But, you know, it's all the hype. And I think if you pull it back and you look at it, let's say he's half of a really good DH, and he's, you know, 2/3 of a really good pitcher. Well, that's a heck of a lot better than your ordinary good DH and your ordinary good pitcher. You know, you're 25% ahead of the game. Now the question which I have is, can the Angels keep him healthy? Because, I mean, I'm going to discount 2018 because that was a 2017. That was a stupidity issue on the part of the fighters. Having him play on opening day, basically when he wasn't ready to run full speed.
Right. Okay.
They'd have been better off giving him a couple of weeks, and they probably then wouldn't have had to miss 2.5 months.
Because Ohtani re-injured himself. Running,
yeah, when he was playing hurt. Yeah, running to first base when he wasn't split. You know, I think he, and I haven't asked him about this. I haven't only had one question to ask him in the past few months. But my guess is he was trying not to land on his right foot, and he strained his, his left thigh muscle. But you know, he's such a positive guy, and people said, well, he's never. And here's the other thing. People said, well, he's never balanced pitching and hitting before. He hasn't done, you know, it's like nobody's done this before. And I'm, and you know, and Mike Socha actually said it quite well. Yes, he has. He's been doing it for 5 years, guys. He knows what he's doing. Now we're going to work with him so that we know what he's doing.
Right.
And his press conference was really good, actually. It was very Mike Socha's manager's press conference at the winter meetings was quite it was quite positive, I thought.
Yeah. I cautioned everybody back home. I said, well, the only reason, and Japan brought this upon Ohtani, because I remember when I was doing that blog for our former sponsor, One World Sports, that the Japanese media started digging through players who had hit, you know, double digits in wins and home runs in a season, and they couldn't find any in NPB, so they went over to the States and they found Babe Ruth. And so they brought that up. And so I said, everyone's calling him the Babe Ruth of Japan, but he's no slugger like Babe Ruth. You're not going to expect him to hit, you know, 700 home runs or 500 home runs or anything, but he's a guy who can do both pitch and hit. So if you think of it that way. But this Babe Ruth comparison is ludicrous.
Yeah, it is, because Babe Ruth was a home run pioneer, but he, you know, the pitching and hitting thing was a 6-week thing. And Ohtani's been doing it for 5 years. So Babe Ruth, he's way past Babe Ruth in that department. I mean, there's no comparing the two. So, yeah, Otani's far ahead of Babe Ruth in that area. But in terms of quality, yeah, he could be. I think, of course, I've always felt, and I don't say always felt, but I certainly think he has a chance to be. I think if he gave up the pitching, that he'd be the best Japanese hitter in Major League Baseball history. He has that chance to exceed Ichiro. But I don't think it's going to happen because of the injuries and all that. But, you know, I was talking to a scout a couple days ago for a story I'm working on, and he told me, and I said, you know, I said, like, which pitchers and which hitter would you compare him to? And he couldn't find a hitter he could think of much like him. But I said, what's a good season for him? And he said, well, look, you know, let's say this elbow trouble is real and he can't pitch this year. I mean, this is a guy who could easily, you know, he could hit, you know, he'd hit 240 and hit 20 home runs.
Yep.
And, you know, that's who you've got. Because he's a mixed player, he's a player who does a variety of different things. You have to temper your expectations. And another scout told me he would be he would consider a season where he, you know, he had an ERA in the fours and a 230 batting average with 8 jacks as a success because I don't know why, but those are very similar to the numbers he posted as a rookie in NPB. I suspect it'll be a little different from that, but those numbers wouldn't surprise me in his first year of making these wholesale adjustments.
All right, so as we make another transition here, a seamless transition, hopefully, to one issue that kind of struck a chord with me, Tetsuto Yamada of the Yakult Swallows was hit with a 20% pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of considered it a shocker, considering he played in every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 24 home runs, I think 25 doubles. 78 RBIs, probably, you know, not very good. A career low average of 247, that wasn't very good, of course. But, like I said, he played in every game. He was a 30-30 guy with 300 batting average, you know, two consecutive years, but basically fell short of all of those marks, but I don't know about a 20% pay cut. He, you know, I think he's going to, or he did sign to play for $280 million next year. I just thought that was kind of unfair for a guy who, yeah, everybody has a down season, and he definitely had a down season, but
Very
fair to me.
Well, it's not fair, and it's not fair that, you know, he got hit in the back and he hasn't you know, he had a bone bruise in his back and he basically has not recovered, you know, in a year and a half. So it's not fair, but that's where it is. And I can certainly understand the team wanting to do that. It's fairly heartless of them, but it is a business too. And, you know, is he making $280 million a year now?
Oh, well, yeah, he's going to get paid that reportedly for next season.
$280 million. So I don't think we're going to need to start the GoFundMe to pay for his lunch yet.
Hashtag okay. Hi.
I mean, I don't mean to be crass. I'm just saying he'll survive, and he's a good person. I thought his defense was actually much improved this year. It's gradually improved the last 3 years. So I like that. But yeah, but I think we're okay. Speaking of which, Yuki and Nagita got a bit of a pay raise today. Of course, we don't know how big a pay raise it was because it's the SoftBank Hawks, but it was reportedly at 120 million, excuse me, 400 million yen a year for 3 years, which will keep him from exercising his domestic free agent rights, and he will not become a free agent until he qualifies for unlimited free agency after the 2020 season. At which point he'll be 32 years old and not really in big demand in the major leagues. Although I'll bet somebody's going to give him a chance if he wants to go, and I'm sure he does want to go.
Well, I think I did see the Kyoto story, which said at the very end, 32 and past his prime. And I'm like, well, how does Kyoto know exactly where his prime is going to be?
Whoa!
I just thought that was kind of...
Well, that's almost, that's essentially objectively provable.
but not for him. Yeah.
No. Numbers no,
over
but
the years, but not necessarily for this player.
Well, no, but let's put it this way. That's like somebody putting the money on the red on roulette and saying, well, I know my chances of winning are bad, but that's a different spin. So put the money on 32, you know, you're going to lose. I mean, that's a bet you're going to lose if you make.
Probably, but yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. The odds, let's put it this way. 32-year-old players are not as good as 28-year-old players. 32-year-old stars are not as good as 28-year-old stars. You can take it to the bank. You can get it. You can get interest on it. So to think that his prime is ahead of him would be ludicrous. His prime is now.
Well, I didn't say it was ahead of him or past him.
It'll be past him by the time he's... yeah.
Probably not
likely,
but we don't know.
Well, he's already in the decline phase of his career, most likely. So, but I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I'm just saying he's not going to be as good as he is now.
Okay.
And I did write that, and somebody, but I think you could objectively prove that he's going to be past his prime.
You can argue it for sure.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, kind of a shorter version of the shorter episode this week, but I've got to try to drag my body to work in the morning, so thank you for listening. Anyone who has a question, send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter @JBWPodcast. Hope you had a really good 2017, and we look forward to talking to you again in 2018. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your off-season.
Yeah, happy holidays, guys.